Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Amen. reading from Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're a little over a week into Lent now, and today we have this interesting reading that upon first hearing sounds an awful lot like the Lord is being critical of fasting and other outward signs of piety. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Well, that description sounds an awful lot like what we like to do around here, doesn't it? Especially during Lent. I just bowed my head a few moments ago with most of you, and didn't we just put ashes on our heads last week? But that's not exactly what's going on here. On the contrary, it's not the practice of fasting and other outward signs of piety that the Lord critiques. It's what else is going on. Namely, it's the condition of the people's hearts and the actions of their hands. And you can see this when you look closer at our text. Now, on the outside, the apostate people of Israel actually seem to be doing everything right. The Lord says, "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways." Well, that part sounds good, doesn't it? Seeking the Lord and his ways, isn't this what God's people are supposed to do? They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Again, outwardly, they're right on track. But I skipped part of that verse, didn't I? They delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They act like a nation that knows righteousness and justice, but the questions they ask of the Lord reveal their true motives. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? When their pious acts do not leverage for them God's favor and blessings, they resent him for it. It turns out they were only really play-acting at righteousness while their hearts were far from the Lord and from their neighbors. They thought they would incur God's blessings ex opere operata, just by going through the motions, but not so. You see, the problem is theirs is not a true fast. If it were a true fast, it would be the Lord's fast. But what does he say? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Now the Lord gets at the heart of the problem, namely the heart of the people. What is it that you are seeking when you fast? Is it your own pleasure? Are you seeking the Lord's rewards, the good things he can do for you? Or are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking his will? Attempting to manipulate God through acts of piety, whether prayer, worship, or fasting, in order to get what you want and to serve your own needs is a form of idolatry. Such worship does not come from a broken and contrite heart. Rather, it is centered on the self and what I can receive for my devotion. When such selfish attitudes distort devotion to the Lord, it's no wonder that relationships between brothers are likewise distorted. Their fasting then led to quarrel and strife, and thus the Lord's anger. It does you no good to afflict yourself with fasting if, at the same time, you afflict your neighbor. But this is what the apostates were doing. And this is what the Lord condemns. They thought that they were doing what God asked them to do by fasting, so they wondered why he was not acknowledging their empty actions. But they were merely going through the motions while begrudging the Lord's imposition on their lives. They resented that a right relationship with God also entails a right relationship with one another. It is not fasting nor outward signs of piety that the Lord condemns. It is selfishly, sinfully doing them with no love toward God or the neighbor that incurs the Lord's displeasure. Now, Dr. Lessing opens his commentary on the first verse by inviting the reader to imagine a world that is cold and silent toward pain and human suffering. Try to envision a place, he says, where everything is driven by self-indulgence and life is all about financial profit, business transactions, and the bottom line. Countless people are being dehumanized. In this world, there are no prayers, liturgies, hymns, sermons, or sacraments. And so love and compassion are rare commodities. This is Isaiah's world. Often, it is also ours. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. The situation is so dire, the sin of the people so great that the Lord himself must break through and make his voice heard among the people. So he commands Isaiah, cry aloud and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Beginning then in verse 6, the Lord describes a true fast. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. The true love of God does not seek its own gain. And when earthly suffering comes, it does not destroy our desire to worship, but it compels us all the more to trust in God's unfailing love in anticipation of the eschatological restoration. The true love of God flows out in love for and service to the neighbor. And this is the fast that the Lord chooses. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Idolatry disqualifies us from being a guiding light. But 9 chapters earlier in Isaiah, the Lord appointed his servant to be the light. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That servant, that light, my friends, is Jesus Christ. When we are in fellowship with the Lord's servant, with Jesus, our light breaks forth because he is the source of light and healing and righteousness. After all, it was Jesus who kept the perfect fast for us. And it was Jesus who came to loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. As he preached to the congregation in Nazareth, he was appointed to proclaim good news to the poor and liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All of this scripture is fulfilled in him, the Lord's suffering servant, who is given for our trespasses and crushed for our iniquities, by whose wounds we are healed. So no, the Lord is not critical of fasting and other outward displays of piety, not when they flow from a heart that loves God and loves the neighbor, which we are free to do in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of sons, Jakob Mateus, to Lorenz and Letizia Fisher, and William, to seminarian William and Linnea Ebel. We also give thanks for the birth of a daughter, Helen Elizabeth, to Harvey and Anna Peters. We also remember the family of the Reverend James Bohagen, a former professor of the seminary, who has died. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the life of these children, Jakob, William, and Helen, entrusted to our care. Bring them to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant to them that precious inheritance awaiting them in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, receive our humble thanks for all your mercies granted to our brother James during his earthly life. Comfort those who mourn his death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Gracious Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star you led the wise men to your infant son. Protect and guide all of your servants now as they set out to travel, both for rest and leisure and for study and enrichment, especially those traveling to the Dominican Republic. Make our ways safe and our homecomings joyful, and bring us at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.